So, do you think about your buyer and what they want to hear from you? Do you think about the pace that they want from you? Do you think about maybe the humor that they might want from you? Well, if you've never considered any of those in terms of your communication style with your potential buyers, then this is the episode for you. I've got Joe Ingram on. He's great. Joe's got so much to share, and it's around communication styles, psychology of selling, edutainment, the future of sales training, buyer behavior, all that sort of thing, all wrapped up. So you're going to get, you know, two or three great things from this, at least, maybe a lot more. So it's worth the 20 minutes that you're going to be listening to Joe and I having this conversation. And at the end, Joe gives a couple of great tips that you can go away and implement straight away. Now, don't forget, if you need some help with a key pitch or a key presentation or a key demo that you're doing, then get in touch. We can do a coaching session on Zoom to suit you. It can be 40, 30, 40, 50 minutes, however much you want, but it just gives you that edge. Because if you've got that presentation coming up or that pitch, you don't want to waste it, do you? Because it's a golden opportunity. So we'll go through your pitch, we'll go through your presentation, I'll give you some tips and advice, maybe to tweak it, maybe your delivery style, just to make sure, and following what you're going to hear in this podcast as well, that you're focusing very much on trying to match and mirror the person that you're pitching or presenting to, or the audience indeed. So get in touch, go to my website, trevorjlee.com, and you'll find everything you need on there. And don't forget, if you'd like to say a big thank you for getting this podcast and listening to it, then you can always go to your local Amazon store and buy a copy of my book, 7 Steps to Successful Presentations, the proceeds of which all go to the local children's hospice down here in the southwest in the UK. Right, let's go over and say hello to Joe Ingram. Say, hey, Joe, it's great to have you on the podcast. Would you like to give listeners a little bit of an introduction to yourself, please?
Absolutely. So Joe Ingram, the sales genius, I got that nickname because I used to do business development centers for a long time within the automotive space. And then I got nicknamed the BDC genius. And then I got promoted into running dealerships. And then the sales numbers increased. So then they just dropped off the BDC and said, now he's the sales genius. So I've done sales through engineering, I've done it through criminal defense, I've done it in automotive software sales, I've done it for CRM companies, I do it for moving companies, chiropractic, dentist, things like that. What I enjoy is the virtual prospect, turning them into an actual sold product or service.
Wow, and your business, Ingram Interactive, I understand that's been going for what, 19 years or so?
Yes, absolutely. So I've been playing sales for about 26 years, right? So I started when I was 4, but oh wait, no, this gives it away. So sales to me was always fun, but I learned it from my dad. Humor was self-defense in our household. So that's what we love to play with.
And do you think humor plays a part in sales, Joe?
Humor plays a very large part. So I will tell you right now, if your ego is larger than the client's, right? I call ego is edging gross out of your deal. And so you don't want to have that ego that's larger than them, but you also need to break down their ego, and humor is a great way. If I get you to laugh with me, not at me, but with me, then what that means is you've checked your ego to the side. And now I can actually get input into your head as opposed to, you know, the I don't like you and I'm not listening to you kind of mentality that when you get in front of a decision maker, they like to hold you at arm's length, where humor can actually save you and get you closer to the person into rapport.
Now, I know we're going to talk about the future of sales training at some point during this recording as well, Joe, but while we're on that point of humor, is that something that you can teach people, or is it kind of has to be a natural thing that you just need to draw out of them? I mean, from salesperson's point of view.
Humor itself is environmentally brought on, right? I don't believe people come out and just say, hey, I'm just naturally funny. Naturally funny comes from the environment. So you can immerse yourself in humorous movies, right? Books, tapes, something like that, that you're listening to that will get into your brain, the concept of humor. And then the more you get around people, the more you interject with what you've learned, you become a funny individual. So, and I do believe humor stems a lot from childhood trauma, So when you look at it, right, all your great comedians had really messed up childhoods. So that's where you look and say, can I draw from my personal experience? But if you hang out with funny people, you're going to naturally pick up humor.
Now, I know one of the things we're going to talk about is communication styles and things like that. Yes. So again, is humor in that communication style? Is that an important part of that, Joe, from a salesperson's point of view?
From a salesperson's point of view, we're taught that we have to match and mirror somebody. So if somebody is literally not funny, and like, again, I'm an electrical engineer by degree, you know, in general, electrical engineers are not the funniest of crews to be working with. Okay. So like if I go to an accountant, I'm not going to have a lot of fun and punchlines coming at people. Right. And so you have to match and mirror, and that's where you got to determine their communication style. When you match their communication style, it becomes easier for them to hear you and understand you. And you can pepper in the humor as you go through. But I prefer to do my prep work ahead of time so I can find out the industry, what they do, what's going on. If you review several posts from people that are on like LinkedIn, then you're going to go in and see some of the stuff, because we vent a lot. When we're out on social media, we like to put only the sexy stuff out there, but we do tend to vent on things, which means you can now identify most common problems. And if I can find that, I can joke about the problem, which will introduce it. Right. And I'll say, oh yeah, really? Like if my team could actually set appointments that showed up, how great would my business be? And then they start going, yeah, that's the problem I'm having. I'm like, really? Let me tell you how I fixed it in my company, blah, blah. And now they're going, oh wow, there's some benefit to what we're saying.
And Joe, is it easy to adapt that communication style in different ways of communicating? For example, I always think it's easier when you're face-to-face, or we're kind of face-to-face, but on Zoom, to have right. that kind of people interaction than it might be if you're talking to them on the phone or something like that.
So the communication styles I look at is we're going to have face-to-face, right, or video, and then we have the telephone, and then we have the text and email.
Right.
And so what I teach for people is I say, look, if I can give you wording that works and stands alone in a text message or an email, would you use it? They say, of course I would, but we don't. We tend to go write emails the same way we talk, as if we're face to face and having this person in front of us. So they don't know. So like the learning style of a visual person, video is great. Okay. The emails are fine. The text messages work for them. But if you go to an auditory person, that person who's actually learning through their ears, I'm one of those people. Okay. So my ears are bigger than my eyes. So I'm learning with my ears more. Okay. So when you send text and email, I get to assign the tone,
right,
that I'm hearing when I read it. So if I'm in a bad mood and you send me an email that says something, blah, 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 or you used AI, so every beginning of the email says, you know what, I hope this email finds you well. And you're like, oh, like I hear it already in a robot voice every day. So when I read that, I'm like, okay, ChatGPT, what did you say? And then you go back. But I want to make sure that I elevate the words. Okay. Then when I go over and I say, great, now I'm going to actually talk to you over the phone, I have to use elevated words. So one of the things I always say to people is I go, okay, so if you reach over and you pick up the pickle, the actual stand, right? When I said that, if we had the video off, you would have no idea what just happened, because I just told you pick up a pickle, pause, stand. Right. And you're like, this doesn't make any sense. We use our facial expression and our body language to communicate so much of what we're saying that we forget that we don't have that when we're on the phone or in email or text. And so you have to be able to adapt your actual strategy. So one of the things, like I'll tell you, if you've ever read a Grant Cardone book, okay, Grant talks into a typewriter. And then, right, he talks into a voice recorder and it gets transcribed. So every word that he says that's incorrect, that isn't the way somebody says it, right, but he says it, it gets written that way.
Right.
And so when you look at it, you're like, as you read through, so somebody who's reading the book is going, what? What is that word? I don't know what that is. Where if it's an audiobook and you hear him say it, you're like, oh, I get it. Right. So I have to adapt to the communication style that the person is responding in and make sure my game is elevated to stand on its own prior to that face to face.
So Joe, does this understanding of the way the buyer is sending out their body language as well and the tone that they're using, is this kind of wrapped up in what, you know, what we might just talk about, the, you know, or describe as the psychology of selling, in effect, because you're having to, you know, work around the buyer. People buy from people, all that sort of stuff. Is that a big part of this?
Yeah. So what happens is, on the psychology of selling, you have to take, what does that mean? It means I have to take all of the information I have to utilize at my disposal, but I have to tweak it and customize it for the prospect. And a lot of times, if my ego is too large, I say, I'm so great, I'll close anyone. And you go, no, you don't. Because when I turn around and go, well, Trevor wasn't closable, that's why I didn't close him, and I blame you.
Right. Yeah.
But the psychology of sales is, and this is what I want people to get. This is what you really need to get. Who do I have to be to make you feel comfortable enough to buy from me?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you deal with personality types and you deal with communication styles, okay, there isn't somebody out there who, unless they're visually impaired, that is not a visual learner. Okay. If they can't hear you, then yeah, they're not a verbal person. Okay. But everybody is going with visual, kinesthetic, or auditory actual communication styles. So people who love to listen to people will go, hey, I hear you. Right. And if you hear somebody say that, then you can go, okay, great. But I see where you're coming from as a visual person. I feel you. Right. I feel where you're going with this. That's a kinesthetic person. Adapt everything, since we all have those three styles. Change everything you're doing to match their style, not your preferred. Mm. And that's where we drop the ball so many times in sales, is that I'm going to go with visual, put up a PowerPoint and go visual. And all my auditory people in the room are just going, I can't help it. If you're low energy, the people that are kinesthetic that need to feel what's coming through on this are lost. And that's why videos and video chat is a great way for you to be able to communicate the way you want to and trigger all three of those communication styles.
And do you think, Joe, particularly when you're dealing with experienced buyers that may not know you very well, when you're having one of your first or second sales call with them, are they judging you quite early on and making a decision about the way you're coming across to them? And ultimately, on that basis, where they're likely to like the idea of doing business with you, are they making that judgment fairly early on?
I will tell you, it's everyone's lying if they say, I don't judge people right away.
Right.
Okay. They're immediately looking at you to say, okay, this person is this person that I can do business with. Is this a person that I immediately like? Okay. So like four steps to selling is like, listen, believe, and buy. Okay. It works for every relationship you ever had. You had to start going, I think I like this person. You listen to them and then you like them a little bit more. Then you can listen to them enough and you go, I believe what you're saying. And then you buy into friendship, relationship, whatever it is. Same thing your customer has to go through. That's why humor is really popular and a really easy way for me to get the like that comes up there. You just have to make sure that your humor is not off-putting in the process, right? Yeah. And so that's what I look at. But, you know, again, match and mirror, you say match and mirror the person. If I'm going to match and mirror the person, everybody forgets that you should match them in speed at which they talk, okay? You should also match them with the actual wording that they use. Most people don't pay attention to that. So like Trevor, if I said, if something really, really, really good happens to you today, when you tell somebody else, you're going to go, you know what? That was the most amazing thing, most awesome thing, most fantastic. You have a word, right? And whatever your word is, I need to learn it and I need to use it back. But too many people turn around, like if you looked at me and go, I need to have an amazing deal. And I go, fantastic deals are all I do. Right? You just broke rapport by not acknowledging the word that you're looking for. So somebody who goes, I'm going to need a significant discount, right? I'll interrupt later and I'll go, you know what? If anybody could afford to provide you with a significant discount, it would be me based on the volume that we do here. And then they go, oh, you heard me. And then that just pulls me closer to them every time I do that.
It's really interesting what you say about speed there, Joe, because I'm thinking about this now from the calls I get when people are trying to sell me stuff. And if they, I like to move, you know, get to the point, you know, let's cut to the chase. Tell me what you're doing. Let's get on here, you know.
Right.
And if they come on the phone and they go, oh, what's it like where you are in the world? And oh, for goodness sake, you know, get on, please, hurry up. Right. Yeah, tell me why you're ringing.
Yes, exactly. And if you go, if I called you and you answered the phone and you were like, hey, yeah, I got a few minutes. What do you need? Right. I'm immediately going to go, okay, let's skip past the fluff.
Here's
what I'm calling about. Because I would respect your personality type and your desire to get to that point. And then truly, Trevor, since I'm not going to waste your time, I'm going to also ask you questions on how to proceed, even though I know directly exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
Because the whole time you're choosing something, I control the choices. So I get to giggle and say, ha-ha, I'm more dominant personality than you, but you don't know it, right? And I give you the choices, but each one is going to go down the road I want it to go.
And do you find,
and
do
you so you feel more included?
Do you find, Joe, that, you know, the average salesperson understands this, recognizes it actually, you know, or is it a big surprise when you're working with them when they kind of think about it and then
complete surprise.
Right, okay.
So the only time you don't have to think about it or actually adjust anything of your own is when you run into someone whose personality type and communication style is the same as yours. Their psychology matches yours. And those are the people that go, I didn't even plan on buying today, Trevor. That's amazing. And you're like, man, this was the easiest sales call ever. Okay. But again, if you are consciously making the effort, if you look at overall personality types, right, everywhere you go, you're going to break it down to four different personality types. Okay. So the odds of you, Trevor, being the same as me, 25%.
Right. Yeah.
What's the average closing percentage for somebody in sales?
25%.
Between 20 and 25%. Okay. Right. Because you're not going to perfectly line up with four opportunities with four personality types. It takes five people to get the four personality types on there. So looking at that, you're dealing with the 25 and you go, oh, I did it. I'm at 25%. And we go, no, but if you adapted your personality style to just include one other personality style, you have a potential of 50% close.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Joe, I know you're really, you know, with your interactive company, you do a lot of sales training and you use this term edutainment. Is that how you say it? Edutainment,
yes.
Right?
Edutainment, yes.
In terms of sales training. So just give us a bit of an overview of what you mean by that.
So the blending of education with entertainment.
Right.
Not
okay.
The boring, drowning on and on, right? Where the student is just sitting there going, oh my goodness, get past the point, right? The person who's reading a workbook to you, right? Or the person who puts up their PowerPoint presentation and then reads it to you.
We love those. We love those.
Yes, exactly. It's like everybody in the audience is going, wow. And then you see everybody reach for their phone, right? You're done. But looking at it, when you go through edutainment, it's how, like, for example, my company, we come in, if we're going to start a sales training, we start playing funny videos to get everybody there on time. So when it's start time, we play a funny video.
Okay.
Now that funny video is a prank video.
Right.
And so that prank video is how I'm judging everybody in the room where their personality sits.
Right.
Because okay. If they sit there like this, that wasn't really funny. It was mean. I'm like, wow, I've walked out of trainings and I go, I'll be right back. I go to the manager and go, this person doesn't need to be in sales. Okay. Because if they don't know how to laugh at themselves or laugh at a situation, they're going to end up becoming a total pain in your behind because everything's going to be unfair and everything is going to go the wrong way. But if you sit there and you're smirking and I go, okay, you're trying not to, then you recognize the humor. You're okay with it. And other personality types, I look at them in the room and then they're belly laughing. And I'm like, okay, the belly laughs, I know I can pick on them in the training to highlight areas that we need to go for because they can laugh at the situation. They can laugh and they're not afraid to expose an emotion. So they're already ahead of people in that way.
And it sounds like this really stands you out as an organization as well in the way you deliver this.
Yes. So I didn't pay attention to it just because, again, like in my family, humor is how you survived. And then I was walking down the hallway with one of my clients, and I had not spoke to the owner. I was hired by one of his managers that he brought in, and he walked up and he said, look, he goes, come here a second. I said, yeah, what's up? And he goes, you haven't been here in a month. And I was like, I know. He goes, 2 days ago, we had somebody come out and do a live demo, let everybody try the product, go through, taught them everything, gave them little handout worksheets. They gave it to him and said, hey, here you go. He goes, the next morning I asked them, so what'd you learn yesterday in the training? He goes, I couldn't get two complete sentences out of anyone. And he said, and they were just like, and I was like, wow. And then I said, what was the thing you learned last month with Joe's company? And he goes, and they all started going, it started rolling out stuff. He goes, whatever you do works. He's never been in one of my trainings. Still to this day, I train three of his companies, right? And it's 4 years now. But he literally goes, I don't know what you do, keep doing it. Because they all remember. And because we can actually break it down, laugh, have fun, I got past their ego. And in sales, if you're going to go train somebody else in sales, they already believe they're better than you.
Fantastic.
And so if I can get you to laugh, you can listen.
Fantastic. Now, Joe, before we, in a minute or so, when we wrap up, I'm going to ask you for a couple of tips like I do every guest that listeners can take forward and use to benefit their sales straight away. But if people want to find out more about you, where do they do that?
So I usually tell everybody, you can find me on LinkedIn, Joe Ingram at LinkedIn. But if you actually want to go find me everywhere on the web, find Sample Train, everything, it's thegeniuslinks.com. So thegeniuslinks.com will get you everything that I put out on the web. It's just a quick and easy link page to let you know where everything's at.
And the Sales Genius Podcast?
Sales Genius Podcast, anywhere you go on podcast tools. If you want to go to Spotify, Apple, Google Store, wherever you go, we are there on the Sales Genius Podcast.
Right. So what about a couple of top tips that listeners can kind of, as soon as they've stopped listening to this, Joe, they can think, right, I'm going to go and do that.
So the first thing I'm going to tell you is you need to check your ego at the door. Okay. So I'm going to tell you right now, your answer is, can you go have five conversations with people without mentioning the word I? Okay. So do not mention the word I. If you can have five conversations where you're not interjecting yourself, then you've actually got to the point where you're checking your ego. And that's going to help you to move forward. Always investigate your prospect as much as you can. Okay. Now, I have a business partner of mine. His name's Brian Galke, and he's from a company called Subtle Skills. I'll recommend him to you, Trevor.
Thank you.
When you look at what Brian does, Brian teaches you how to read facial features to understand how the person wants to be spoken to.
Okay.
So I go out on LinkedIn, start pulling photos of whoever I'm meeting with, and I look at it and go, oh, this person cares about his team more than he cares about himself. This person doesn't want to hear all the blah, blah, blah. Wow. He wants to get that. You know, it's amazing. Wow. Brian's phenomenal with this. And so, but again, I'm going to grab from every single person I can and take with it. Okay. I also want them to go out and go use AI, go use Google, go find some place where you can type in three business acceptable jokes to interject. Okay. And so write them down and learn them.
Right.
Okay? I'm much more of a situational guy. And as we're going through things, I will throw it out there. But if you have to, you know, just come up with something stupid. What did the hat say to the hat rack? Right. You stay here. I'll go on ahead. Okay. Now, you can't work that into a sales call. Okay. So that's not the kind of jokes you're looking for. You're looking for more situational jokes. If you're going to sell somebody something, go look for humorous sales stories. Look for that. Stories will always get something across. The issue is if you're calling somebody who's the head of a company, the owner, somebody who's a CEO, they are going to be much more direct in their personality and will not want to listen to your story.
Great.
Okay. So I want everybody to understand that. So then come up with three options to every step you have to make
right.
So that they can choose between those.
Right.
Do you want to do the short presentation, the long presentation?
Right. Yep.
Right. And what are they going to say? The short one. Guess what? It's the same presentation either way. I just talk faster while I'm doing it. So. But they don't know. Stuff. They've never been through it. So I would definitely do that.
Great stuff. So. Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. I'll put all the links in the show notes for the listeners and remind them in the outro of all the great things that you shared as well. So thank you much indeed. It's been great fun.
Thank you so much, Trevor.
Well, do you know, Joe, I loved it. I loved that podcast. I loved recording that podcast with Joe. It was fast-paced. It went in the click of our fingers. We had a certain amount of time to record it in, and we just about made it on time. But, you know, I love what Joe shared there, some fantastic stuff. And, you know, remember those two top tips at the end. Check your ego at the door. Can you take Joe's challenge and have five conversations without mentioning the word I? try it. And his other top tips as well. Investigate your prospect as much as you can. You know, find out as much as you can about them so there's no surprises, you know, and you don't have to say, so what do you do? I mean, God, who, you know, if you get a sales call and someone says, you know, think about all the random sales messages you might get or your organization might get. I get loads of them. People have got no idea what I do. They've done no research, they've done no investigation, they just randomly send in something and hoping it sticks. Well, you know, come on, we've got to improve on that. We can do a lot better. So I hope you enjoyed Joe. You know, think about those things as well. He talked about speed of talk. You know, have you ever considered that? Do you do that, for goodness sake? Well, you know, think about it. Next time you're in a sales conversation, think about the speed at which you're talking at, and is that what your audience want as well? So great stuff. You know, education, entertainment, it's all there. It's all there. So, you know, best thing to do is rewind this podcast and listen to it again, I think. But check out Joe's website. Some great stuff on there. And all the links to everything are in the show notes. Right, so that's the end of this episode. It was number 200 and where are we? 283. So next one up is 284, I imagine. I'll see you then. Bye for now.